Hey, all you crossers out there, welcome to episode 10 of Kangaroo Crossing. As you have heard, there are two things that I can go ahead and say. One is, this is episode 10. Please insert woo, laugh track, soundtrack, whatever, here, because by episode 10, we still don't have great audio effects. Thus, the fact that I'm not getting paid. Ha ha ha. Second off, I might as well say that I now have a new nickname for all you people who are listening to this. Y'all are crossers. And I do want to start this off by naming some memorable crossers right off the bat. I want to give attention to Vesper, Tempest the Skunk, and our newest crosser, as far as sending you messages go, Joe the Fox. All three of these people are crossers that I did not know beforehand that have contacted me via email and actually said something about the show. And I want to tell these people that it means a lot to me to hear from people I do not know and have them tell me that they're actually listening. It reminds me that I'm doing this and that, you know, it's not just some internet void that just kind of goes out to nowhere. So to those three, thank you very much for contacting me. And to the rest of you, I hope you guys keep on listening, because maybe by the time we get to episode 20, we'll actually get sound effects. Ooh. Wouldn't that just make us special? Southern Rue. Okay, today's episode I feel is very important, and it's taken me a lot of time to consider how best to get this out, which is furry culture and real culture. The best way to put this is we have furry culture and we have real culture. Furry culture is basically probably what this podcast is as of right now. And also all the artwork things we have, all our art sites, all our forums, all our little renders that we do, everything that falls under those categories that directly relates to fur is something I would call furry culture. Real culture is all the stuff that we don't do that just is made and is put out to everyone, not just furs, and is related to everything, not just furry things. Knowing this difference is key to something that we furs really got to do. Right now, we're just some little sub-community or sub-culture that's out there that's pretty much ignored or teased a lot. A lot of the time. We just got a nice tease from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, thank you very much. And it's not helping. People see this kind of stuff, and, you know, when a child says, "Mom, Dad, guess what? Tails and ears make me look sexy," the parents freak for more than one reason. There's not enough good association with the word fur. And to get that, we need to move furry culture to real culture. We need to turn what we call, what we have, our little mini things, our artwork, our little shows like this, our small, tiny fraction of the entertainment industry into something that actually goes out there and shows people, hey, look, furs in your face. This means becoming professional. Now, when I say professional, I'm not saying, oh, we need to go out there and, you know, shine like stars and get money for it and make our own little, like, niche for money. I mean professional in a sense of when you go out and watch a cartoon, that style, that elegance, that professionality, the fact that there's no little glitches, there's no little skips and things, the actual fact that they have real, honest-to-God voice actors and flowing movement between the scenes, not our, you know, oh-so-lovable Flash cartoons. When you see that, and you look at our stuff, they're beating us. So why not take what furry things we have now and try to get to that level? And people out there who do things like furry art, I've seen some artists out there that blow my mind. But it's stuff that won't sell at, I don't know, a museum. Well, maybe it could. I think it could. Should. But a lot of people are focusing on just doing little things like Yiffy art or, that's pretty much it, actually. Sorry to say this, people, and don't hate me for it, but the majority of our furry artists out there do Yiffy art. And as fun as it is, which it is fun, don't you think you should probably try and work on becoming a better artist in general first, then move into the Yiffy art? By taking even a little time to really focus on making your art look better, look fantastic, well, or just look better, and then moving on to Yiffy art, the quality of our art gets better in general for everybody. And then people can stop just saying, oh, we're a bunch of, you know, what is it, fur fags? If people start seeing actual good art first, before Yiff art, you become a better artist, therefore you're forwarding the community a little bit. Not saying everyone out there has to do this, this is one of those opinionated moments for the room. This is truly all opinion, and don't hate me for it. But I really do think everyone in the community who thinks they can be better or who has potential should strive to be a little better and should strive to really meet that potential. If everyone in the community produces things that are better in general, that look better, then maybe people will look on us a little better in too. If we really do show people that being a fur doesn't just mean yiffing and yiffing and yiffing and wearing a costume and yiffing, and that it actually produces good quality things in entertainment, or in music, or in dancing, acting, anything at all, cooking. If we show that being a fur is something that produces something productive and something that produces something beautiful, maybe we'll get a little less flack for being fur. And, you know, it's not to say that everyone out there has to. It's not saying that anyone will. But it would be nice. Maybe having more of a positive association with furs would be better than just saying, screw everybody else, we love to yiff. We do love to yiff. But can't we have other stuff too? Again, you're going to have to forgive me for having such a opinionated 10th episode. But I guess the thing that made me think about all this stuff is the fact that I recently saw an old cartoon. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. Fritz the Cat? Old cartoon. And I shouldn't say that, because if I say that too much, the next section will make the person who's doing the next section seem older, which she's not. She's probably the youngest out of all the furs I know. In spirit. She's gonna kill me. Anyway, seeing this Fritz the Cat thing, seeing how they produced it and how they made something that was not only an anthropomorphic creature, but also something that went out and had sex in mainstream culture, just screamed at me, why don't we see that nowadays? And I asked her, and she gave me a wonderful explanation as how things were and how people act. And I said, you have to put this down into speech, and you have to let me put it on the podcast. So, people, give it up for Ranting She-Wolf.
Are you ready to rock? Oh, whoops. Wrong channel. Hey, everyone, it's She-Wolf here. Toggle asked me to do a little clip on something that makes me feel really old now. Thanks, Toggle. But, yeah, he wanted me to talk about old furry cartoons that depicted sex and violence. So I guess because I'm considered a gray muzzle in the furry community, I got picked. So I guess we're going to try to start off with something that is probably going to go really crazy. But yeah, we'll start with probably back, way back. Many of you probably wouldn't even remember him, but I know I do. I began with a cartoon character named Fritz the Cat. He started out as a comic back in the 1960s, and then he moved to cartoon TV and put out two movies. He was actually, to begin with, a house cat. His name was Fred, and was later anthropomorphized and renamed Fritz. Fritz depicted all of those sexy, tabooed images that were forbidden back in the day when cartoons were just beginning to head in that forbidden territory. Sex was taboo and not to be talked about. Thank Christ things aren't like that now. Man, oh man. At least nowadays there are places you can go and get naked and be in public without causing some old codger to have a mass infarction or shit their pants. But yeah, there was such an uproar over Fritz and all the sexual content that they ended up taking it off the air because of all the religious people who made such a big stink that it was corrupting their faith. And that what he represented went against what they were trying to preach. I mean, go figure. Now we have to deal with pedophile preachers. I mean, what's worse to deal with? Watching a cartoon cat screwing his girlfriend or hearing about some higher-up Catholic preacher that ended up diddling some poor kid in a bathroom stall? I mean, that whole thing just makes me sick. I mean, in reality, the way you look at it, it's really quite tame compared to the stuff they have on TV nowadays, cartoon-wise. I mean, they took Fritz off because of all the sexual content, innuendos and stuff. Yet they have these new-age cartoons that depict violence and chaos. I don't know, I'd rather take the sexual innuendos any day to the crap they were airing nowadays. They removed Fritz the Cat because of sexual content, yet it was 6 or 7 years later that they came up with porno movies. All I can say is that it proved to be a bust with that era, because look at the way people think and act now. It makes no difference trying to hide it. You want to see it? There it is. Warner Brothers was the next to make the lead after Fritz the Cat was taken off the air and used their offbeat color and humor and incorporated it into their own cartoons. They made it in such a fashion that kids could actually enjoy it and laugh, yet they were still too young to understand the innuendos. But us older farts could understand it and still laugh at it too and enjoy it. But I mean, look at what they've done now with political correctness and all that. They've totally raped good cartoon clips and removed the best parts of what made Warner Brothers cartoons famous. I mean, Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner, you could see mishaps happen and explosions and screw-ups from Coyote trying to blow up the Roadrunner. And then they go and fuck it up by editing out all the good stuff and the cartoons are flat as hell. I mean, who wants to watch that? Fritz wasn't a horrible cartoon. It's the old farts who gasped whenever they heard the word sex or saw a naked body, and the religious ones who felt it was the work of the devil and pushed the fact that it was inappropriate. Screw that. I mean, that's just bullshit. But yeah, it makes you sick. The way the cartoons have gone nowadays, I don't know. I mean, you got Transformers, and you got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, even the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you can laugh at them. I mean, it's pretty funny, but most of these cartoons have, I don't know, there's just no base to it. So, yeah, it's too bad that Fritz the Cat got brushed under the carpet, because that was actually a pretty good cartoon for back when it was made and how old it is. And Warner Brothers fell flat on their ass when they cut all the good stuff out of their Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner cartoons. I really enjoyed those cartoons. I mean, I watch them now, and it just isn't there. It's gone. All the good stuff they've taken right out of it. All I can say is I hope these cartoons they've got out now that are actually half decent, they don't turn around and start hacking them all to shit and raping them, and because it's just gonna create more crap. People are supposed to watch TV and enjoy it, you know, and be able to remember the good parts of it, not look at it and say, oh Christ, here they go and they hack it up again. What's the point of putting a cartoon out if you're constantly editing out because someone's bitching that there's boobs or someone's got a hairy twat there, and oh my god, that dog shows a penis. Oh, we can't have that. I mean, come on. But yeah, that's this Wolf's Two Cents worth, and I guess you can take it for what it's worth. You don't like it? Too bad! That's just my two cents. But there you go. That's it for me, and I am out of here. Bye!
And back to your most annoying Rue in the world. As you can see, she knows what she's talking about, and she's not that old, people. She just thinks she is. She doesn't act old, she doesn't look it, and at this point I'm probably just trying to flatter her, because if I don't, I'll get killed. Anywho, I guess this goes into a surprising second rant. That's right, people. Since it's episode 10, this is going to be extra long, and it's going to have a second rant. Please, strap into your chairs, get some popcorn, put on your best tail, whatever you need to do, but here we go. The second part is more of an ask Tuggle / I hope somebody's listening and get some help from this. And not I hope somebody's listening and gets help from this as in, ooh, why don't you listen to me kind of thing, but honestly, my heart goes out to you. For those of you who have not come out yet as a fur, or those of you who have, or those of you who are considering it, or any of the above, or any of the ones I haven't mentioned, basically, if you're a fur and you haven't told people around you, I guess in a lot of the times I say you should be open, you should show everybody that you are a fur, because it is something to be proud of, and honestly it is. But, yeah, I do understand there's some times where you can't. I do understand that telling your parents or telling those people who are close to you things about this is incredibly hard. And if any of you have thought that that what I'm just saying is, oh, well, screw them, you know, it's more important to come out, no, I'm sorry. Honestly, I really do understand how it is, and I do want to say that if you're in a situation where you have to hide the fact that you're a fur, it's okay. I think what you should do is probably find community members that will help you and support you, and you can tell them, obviously, and have and be with them. Let them know how you feel. Form a group of friends. But if you can't tell the people around you, it sometimes just happens. And eventually you will be able to. Especially if I do fulfill what my goal is for making this podcast right now. And my goal is that if I do this well enough, maybe one day I can do this to the point where it's not just the fact that it's furry stuff and I'm talking about it, but maybe it's something that people listen to because it's a fun thing to listen to in general. Right now, my goal is to make this podcast something that everyone can listen to and that supports and loves and pushes forward any kind of furry movement at all in a way that it supports the community, so that we have a better community that will support, well, us and others. As stupid as it sounds, and I'm probably going to get someone, you know, calling me out on this, we should try and strive to be able to interact in normal community without feeling unequal. No, wrong word. Not unequal. We're not segregated against. We're not fighting because we're of a certain race or religion. We don't get killed for this, and maybe we do, but the reason I want this is not because it's some sort of horrible, unjust thing, even though it is. I'm fighting to have people accept first because we deserve to be accepted and loved just as much as everybody else. And having being hated just because of acting a certain way is never nice. It's not nice for other people to do, and it doesn't feel nice. Maybe it's not a cause that other people will believe in, but I wholeheartedly believe that we deserve to be accepted and loved just as much as everybody else. And maybe if this becomes successful and other people listen to us, whether they're human or whatever, then maybe it'll push forward the fact that we're all here and we're all able to interact with each other without killing each other, so let's do that. Let's all be friends. We're not going to be angry at you if you don't wear a tail, so don't be angry at us if we do. And I guess maybe the biggest goal is that kids should be able to say something about being a fur, which I hate to say I wish it was more of a choice, but it doesn't feel that way. Maybe it is, I don't know. But it doesn't feel that way, and I really want it to be the point where people can say to their parents, furry looks like the thing for me, and they won't, you know, hate you. No, it's not a gay movement. No, it's not a racial movement. No, it's not a religious movement. But it feels important to me, and I will push it forward. And that's pretty much what this podcast is about to me. That's what the first section was about, talking about pushing into main entertainment. That's what the second part is about, supporting each other and making sure that we can have a place in this world. So band together, hold hands, try your best, and if any of you who are listening to this need some help, contact me, email me, I'll respond. I've got no life. I guess all I can really say from here is I wish you all the best of luck, and if this does mean something to you, say the same thing to someone else. Your art looks good. Try to make it look more professional, not meanly, make it more professional, but support them. Tell them that they shouldn't just give up on things. They should try and strive to make their art look great, make their music sound fantastic, sound professional, and push it out in the main culture. If we keep doing that kind of stuff, if we try to do that kind of stuff, then eventually people will have to see us and not see us as something negative. I hope. If I'm completely and absolutely wrong, I'm willing to listen to that. And, you know, you don't have to listen to this, and you don't have to listen to any of what I just said and think and just disregard it completely. That's your option. But if it does mean something to you, then go out there. Make something, make it good. You know, what is it saying? Be, no matter what you are, be the best at it. Do that. We're furs. Let's be the best damn furs we can be. Alright, I'm gonna go to the next section of this. I'm sorry again for the whole, you know, fur, fight, you know, extreme episode here. And let's lighten things down with our number one favorite muscle-covered male wolf, Mrar. TK Wolfman, with his tragic Give me a sec. It's so beautiful. It's his recurrence of beautiful events of conquer the squirrel. Please join me.
Hey, how the hell are you? TK Wolfman here with another installment of the Howl Factor, the part of the crossing that has more meat stuffed in it than the quad stacker at Burger King has stuffed between its buns. And you know, whenever I think of a whole lot of meat stuffed between buns, I immediately think of love. That's right, I do. Ever since Valentine's Day came and went like the grandiose one-night stand that it is, I've been thinking about this funny little muddle called amour, that's French, and I've been thinking about how it applies to my area of expertise, which, as many of you may know by now, is gaming. Specifically, how do you sum up furry love in a game? It's been out there, it's been in a couple of games, but for me, there's really one game that sums it up better than any other game you could mention. And it led to this installment being titled Conker's Bad Fur Day, A Tragic Love Story. And I can already sense people pulling away from me, which is impressive because this is a recording. But hold on! Bear with me. This will make sense. Most of you are probably focusing on some of the more colorful parts of Conker's Bad Fur Day. One of those colors being the yellow piss when he pees on fire monsters to keep them from burning his ass, but really, think about the actual story behind Conker's Bad Fur Day. The entire story is about Conker, an innocent red squirrel with a bit of a love for the drink, trying to get home to his dear love, Barry. That's all it's about. A man trying to get back to the woman he loves. Now, isn't that just... that's sweet to me. I love that. I mean, it's a simple concept, and Conker will do anything he has to do to get back to the love of his life. Of course, he does get sidetracked by thousands and thousands of dollars, but I defy you to tell me you wouldn't get distracted by a whole pile of money saying, "Somebody get me!" You would be distracted by that, mainly because talking money is the cause of a major psychotic reaction. But I digress. Really, and when you think about it, the romance doesn't stop with just the main plot of the game. I mean, there are all kinds of little things in there that remind us of just how much love is a part of our lives. I'll never forget the experiences I had discovering the romance in Conker's Bad Fur Day. I shed a tear whenever I saw the queen bee cry out for her king, and I felt a sense of purpose in reuniting the two by helping the king pollinate the holy hell out of a flower with a tickle fetish and huge flower tits. That's what they were, flower tits. And of course, it always got me right deep down in the Dennis Leary Patton cockles of my heart, seeing the slow separation between a red squirrel and his beloved T-Rex, only to find unrequited love with a 20-foot-tall cave babe who was convinced Conker would break her heart, even though it was hidden behind giant jungle jubblies. Excuse me a second. But in the end, well, the climax rather, Conker and Barry were reunited and brought together to bring down an evil tyrant, during which Barry sadly lost her life, and Conker fought with everything he had to bring that monster down. And by monster, I mean the alien that randomly burst out of the Panther King. I mean, I love plot twists as much as the next guy, but even M. Night Shyamalan is looking at that and going, OMG WTF? Once again, I digress, because it's the ending that really gets to me, and I'm sure it gets to a lot of you too. In the end, Conker had everything that he thought he wanted out of life. He was a king, he ruled over all he surveyed, he had millions of dollars, But he realized he was missing the one thing that he desired more than anything in the world. The driving force throughout the entire game for him, whether he realized it or not, getting home to his sweet love, Barry, and then forgetting to have her resurrected by the programmer during the biggest fourth wall breakage since Deadpool came along. If you don't know who Deadpool is, well, I'm not speaking to you. That really sums up Conker's Bad Fur Day for me. Truly a tragic love story that reminds you that you never realize how much wealth you have until it's gone. Well, that's about it for me and my little spiel about furry love, mired in squirrel piss. Questions? Comments? Anything you want to toss my way? My email is tkwolfman@hotmail.com. And always remember, probably the greatest words of wisdom to ever come out of any N64 game, throw the alien out and shut the bloody door. Good night, everybody.
Well, that was beautiful. All right, Crossers, time to head on out. I'm hoping that this episode was all right with y'all, and it was a little quickly made, so I'm still working on things like segues and noise effects, obviously, but I guess this is a part for me to kind of put an advertisement out for myself. If anyone would like to help with the technical aspects of this show, contact me via email. My email, as always, is afrobunnymurr.com, afro_bunny_murr@hotmail.com. Three of you have, hoping to hear from more. And as for the words of wisdom, I could say something really creative and really fantastic for you to hear, but instead, how about let's hear some of your words of wisdom? Go ahead, say them. There's your words of wisdom. Later.